Praise God. My, I feel a special presence of the Lord here tonight. Appreciate these young people worshiping God, singing with all of their hearts and letting the Holy Ghost move through them as they were leading our service tonight. Didn't they do an excellent job? Amen. So happy to be in this youth service tonight. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, well, a couple weekends ago, I announced to you that I was asking Brother Brad and Brother Michael over the next couple of Wednesday nights to consider Wednesday night being youth emphasis night. Not that they would have to preach their whole message to the youth, but to keep that in mind. And I heard both of them. We watched online while we were in Illinois and saw the services, and they both said some very pointed comments to the young people to encourage them, and I appreciate that. And so now here we are on actual youth night, and we got the old guy preaching. But I do love young people, and I do want to say something tonight that I hope will help you and help all of us. And I've got some scripture tonight from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. But before I read that, I've got one announcement to make. Friday night, this coming Friday night, is a youth outing night. And I believe that Sister Laura and Brother Jeremy are hosting that event. Is that right? So do you want to say something about that, Sister Laura? Okay. All right. So if you want more information and you plan to go, be sure and see one of them and get that all, get signed up or whatever you need to do for that. Sounds like a fun evening. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 is where I'm going to read tonight. Part of this will be very familiar to you. I think verse 31 has been set to song. You probably have sung it, quoted it. But it's the verses leading up to it that I want to include tonight. Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 28. If you have your Bibles and want to open there and read along with me. If not, I think we've got it for you up here on the screen. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not..." All right, you reading it or you remembered it? Let's try that again. "They shall walk and not faint." Now, I want to try to preach to you for a few minutes tonight on don't faint now. All right, don't faint now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word because your word is truth. And we pray that you would speak to us tonight, Lord, and encourage each and every one. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. How many of you have ever fainted? Has anybody here ever fainted? All right. I see several hands on this side. What about this side? Anybody here ever fainted? How many of you really enjoyed that experience? It's not fun, is it? And, you know, what's amazing is the variety here of the hands that I saw up. There were young ones and older ones. There were men and women. Even Brother Brad raised his hand. At youth camp, at Camp Dove, I nicknamed him Big Bad Brad. And I hope he doesn't get offended with that. But even he said he's fainted. That's not a pleasurable experience. But the Bible has a lot to say about fainting. In fact, in these few verses that we read tonight, that word faint appears in different forms four different times. It first appears in verse number 28, where the Bible tells us, in considering the Lord, how awesome, how mighty he is, how strong he is, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint. Actually, the King James Version says, fainteth not. He fainteth not. So that's kind of an introduction to where these next few verses are going. Keep that in mind. Make that a footnote. This is the point. God never faints. God never faints. But verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint. Amen. So now he's addressing to all of those who have ever been in a place of weakness, who have ever fainted before, to know that the one who never faints is able to give you who do faint strength to overcome that. Then he emphasizes in verse 30, even the youth shall faint, even young people faint, and utterly fall, the Bible says here. The youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a secret there. There is a hint at how to avoid fainting. Now, I don't want to faint anytime. How many of you vote for that? I don't want to faint anytime. But aren't there some times, especially where it would be especially embarrassing to faint? You know, of all time, I don't want to faint then. How about at a wedding? Have you ever seen anybody faint at a wedding? Anybody here? I have. And as a minister that has performed several weddings, I've had to do some fainting coaching before weddings, you know, to encourage them to avoid fainting, telling all of the marriage, the wedding party, getting together with them and planning the ceremony. And a lot of times I've heard them say, what I'm really worried about is getting up there and fainting in front of everybody, because they had seen it happen. And it is pretty embarrassing. You're up there on this big day, everybody standing there in tuxedos and beautiful dresses and holding all of these bouquets of flowers, and candles are burning all around, and boom, you faint. Right then, really? No, you don't want to faint now. But so I did a little research. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But I asked around, got some advice, and what I found out is to tell the wedding party not to lock their knees. Has anybody ever heard that? Don't stand there all stiff. Somehow or another, it makes your whole system nervous, and it sends this message to your brain, and you're not getting enough blood flow or something like that. So just relax a little bit, okay? So your knees have some part in that. Keep that in mind. And then I would tell them to drink some water beforehand, because staying hydrated is very important. Dehydration can cause fainting. And eat a little bit. I know your stomach's all churning and you're nervous. You don't want to eat a big meal just before the big event. But, you know, don't come hungry, thirsty, nervous, and that's going to happen. Now, it's embarrassing, but it does happen. And I know it happens because one of my best friends, a pastor, his son, and I'm not going to name him because this is being streamed, and if it gets out to him, it might embarrass him, and some of you might know him. But at his wedding, this big, strong outdoorsman type, you know, he's a volunteer firefighter and, you know, outdoorsman type. It's his wedding. He's the groom on the platform, and he fainted. Not just once, but twice. Not just twice, but three times. On the fourth time, I mean, they're in the middle of the ceremony and they're saying the vows and the promises. I do. Boom! He faints, falls over. On the fourth time, his wife-to-be is standing over him while he's trying to get awake, and he's saying, baby, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And they brought a chair up and sat him in the chair to complete the wedding. You don't want to faint now. No, That's kind of embarrassing, but it happens. And sometimes, well, There are different levels of fainting, you know, different kinds of fainting, and some of it is embarrassing like that. Some of it is just inconvenient. I've got a pastor friend just retired from the ministry, and part of the reason that he retired was because he's developed some kind of a health issue that is causing him to faint frequently. He can't help it. It's not nervousness. They're trying to track it down, what causes it, but he has been up there preaching and faint. And it's a physical limitation that's a very inconvenient form, and it's affected his ministry. But sometimes fainting can cause injuries. And I'm thinking of a time that we were having a big youth rally at the church we were pastoring in Missouri at the time. It was a packed house and had a big area-wide youth choir. They had worked on a song for days. It was Thanksgiving time. And so a big choir up on the platform, and a place was packed, and you could almost imagine the oxygen being sucked out of the building. The service was running high, and you know, it was a great service. But our daughter was in the choir, and I'm going to imagine for you her over here. We had an organ, piano on that side, organ over here, and she's standing right by the organ. I'm up here because I'm leading the service, and people are worshiping, and I looked over just in time. I saw my daughter get that ashen look on her face, and her eyes sort of rolled back, and I saw her fall over. And just as she fell, I saw, and I couldn't get there, you know, in time, but as she fell, she hit her head on the corner of the organ. And I heard it, and saw the whole thing happen. But not many others saw it. They were all worshiping and singing and getting into service, but I saw it. And I ran over there thinking that she probably busted her head hitting the corner of that sharp corner of that organ. And about that time, one of the other ladies in the church saw what was going on and ran up there and started praying. And thankfully, Jessica revived out of that, and there was no serious injury, and we went on with the service. But that could have been a very serious injury. So there's times you just don't want to faint, for sure. Amen. There's different kinds of fainting. Now, for us to imagine this, I've asked Brother Wesley to help me here just for a moment. When I called him and asked him to help me with this, then I found out that he's like a professional fainter. I mean, he knows how to do this. So I'll explain that after a while. Brother Wesley, come up here and just imagine for me, this is a pre-fainting condition, okay? So maybe kind of like my daughter before she fainted, eyes begin to roll back, dizziness coming over you, and you can sense it. And so if you sense that coming on, it's ever happened before, don't you think that'd be a good time to get a hold of something? So here, just hold on. Okay, come over here, Wesley. Just stand here for a second. It's going to be all right. Just catch your breath. It's all right. Whew, you okay? Take a deep breath. We caught it just in time. Just before he fainted, we were able to assist him and keep it from happening. That's pre-syncope, they call it. Syncope is the word for fainting. So the symptoms were there, but we caught it in time and kept him from injuring himself. But what if we have a partial fainting? Okay, he's back over here now. This time, I don't notice it in time. He doesn't realize what's happening. And all of a sudden, he begins to melt like butter in the sunshine. And down he goes and falls to the floor. And then everybody begins to realize, whoa, what's going on? Wesley, you okay? What happened?
I fainted.
You fainted? Man, I'm sorry about that. We've got to do better at helping you from that. So partial, where you just kind of drift over, fall over, you know, slowly go to the ground. But then there's full-on fainting, where it just, boom, it hits you. Like my friend at the wedding, totally catches him off guard, and everybody looking on, and still nothing to do. He's just out of it. He just faints. Oh, whoa. Wesley, you okay? You all right? Come on, buddy. Here, what you need is you need a little water. Here, just sit right there. You need a little water maybe to drink. You probably need some air. You got overheated. Everybody back off. You don't want to be surrounding a person that just fainted and sucked the oxygen out of the area. Let's get him some air. Let's get him some water. And let him just kind of catch his breath there for a moment. And then we're going to get him up. And he can sit in the chair and go on with his wedding. Thank you, Wesley. No, the reason I said that about professional fainters is I found out that they asked him to faint at Sidewalk Sunday School earlier this summer. So he had practice on that. Give Wesley a hand clap. Thank you for being up here. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about fainting. I mean, four times in this one chapter here. But not as many times as what you might imagine in this great big book called the Bible. But it is found in the Bible 41 times. The word faint is 41 times. Fainted is another 12 times. Fainteth, like we read here, King James Version, that's four times. A total of 57 times the word faint is in the Bible. But each time, that word fainting has a little different meaning. In one of the places, it might mean losing strength, like feeling sick or weak, weakened by it. And the Bible then points out how people can get weary. And the book of Galatians says, be not weary in well-doing. We will reap if we faint not. If we don't get weary, we don't get overly worn out, overly tired, there's going to be a reward day after a while. There's another place where the Bible uses the word, and it refers to being faint-hearted. In other words, a loss of spirit. Something discouraging has happened to make you want to quit or make you want to give up. You become faint-hearted. You just don't want to try anymore. There's another place. It's an interesting word to me in the Hebrew. It means to relax or to unloose like a bowstring. And so any of you that have ever hunted with a bow, especially if you use the old-fashioned recurve type bow, not the new compound bows, but the old-fashioned, just a big piece of wood, and you pull it down tight and you wrap the string on both ends as tight as you can. And the old hunter, even warrior bows were like that. But if you left it highly strung all the time, it would damage the wood and the integrity of the wood. It would lose its strength. So when they weren't hunting or they weren't going to war, they would loose that string, stand their bow over in the corner and let it relax because it wasn't being used. But when that word is used in a personal sense, it really is a bad connotation. It means to relax to the point that you've lost desire. You've fainted. You've lost desire. You don't want to try. You just don't have any hope anymore. There's lots of ways that we can apply this word to our lives, losing courage, losing desire, losing spirit, losing strength. But however you apply it to your situation, I want you to know this. God does not want you to faint. He doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want you to just relax to the point where you can't try anymore. We don't come into church and just say, I don't feel like worshiping anymore. I don't want to even try to raise my hands. I'm not worthy to raise my hands. I'm not worthy to sing. That's a loss of desire. That's a loss of strength and courage. We can't quit. We can't give up. we can't lose that strength that keeps us going as the people of God. It's not God's will that we faint, but we can faint. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but have any of you ever seen the famous fainting goats? They are the funniest creature that God has ever created. It wouldn't be good for me to own fainting goats. I would torture them too bad. It wouldn't be fair to them. They're funny, but that's why they're so lovable. But these timid creatures, they have this something in them that happens when they are suddenly scared or surprised. They stiffen their legs. There's that stiff legs again, and they just fall over. And if you've never seen any of those videos, there's one that I really like where this guy goes out into a herd of goats, and all he does is raise a red umbrella a couple of times really fast. He just goes boom, 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 and the whole herd, pow, 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 they all just fall down and faint. And, you know, it's kind of funny, except... That wouldn't be too good if the devil walked into church and scared everybody to death and we just all fell over and fainted with fear. We've got to be stronger than that. Now, granted, it might be scary if the devil really did appear. But what I mean is he shows up in places that we don't really expect it. And temptations suddenly come out of nowhere, or fearful incidents happen. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves in a position where we're so timid, so weak, so lacking in courage that some unexpected thing happens and boom, we're out of touch with God, out of our prayer life, out of church. We're just out of it. It's not God's will for that to happen to you. You could faint, you can faint, and maybe you do faint from time to time spiritually, but God wants to give you the strength to overcome that. God wants to help you to be stronger than what you are in yourself. And that's why he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What we need to do is spend time in the presence of him who will give us all that we need to survive the unexpected circumstances of life. And then what we need to realize is there's a place and there's some things that we can do that when we find ourselves weak and we're suddenly spiritually perspiring and know that we're about to go out, we need some help. Just come to somebody that you can lean on, like Wesley did in our first little attempt at fainting. Find somebody that you can lean on, somebody to hold you up. Find somebody that will get you a drink of water or get you a fresh breath of air and keep you from fainting. I believe that is a great illustration to us in the natural of what we need in the spiritual. We need to come to the house of God and get a great big drink of the water of the Holy Ghost in our life. Amen. What we need is a fresh breath of the Spirit of God moving in our life, to let him blow upon us and fill our lives with oxygen and air, and fill our spiritual being with the hydration of his Spirit. And if we're hungry, it's time to get a fresh meal from the Word of God. We need to eat of the Word of God. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There are ways that we can keep from fainting. Now, to faint in the Lord, to faint on the Lord, to faint and give up from the Lord is never a good thing. But especially not now. Don't give up on the Lord now. Don't faint now. Don't faint, saint. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit. There's a way that you can get your strength back. And the Bible tells us how. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Stand with me tonight, and we're going to close this prayer with a time around the altar with these young people. And I know that some of them are going to be leaving soon, but I hope that you can spend a moment here just waiting on the Lord. Pray what you can pray before you have to go home, and ask God to help you tonight, because that's where our strength comes from. Let's pray, church. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and we know that we need, Lord, the strength of your meat and milk, the food of the Spirit, your word. I pray, Lord, that you would impart some spiritual strength to each and every one here tonight, but especially our young people, for the enemy is trying to come in like a flood and discourage and sidetrack and destroy so many of our young people. But I pray, Lord, that they that have chosen to be in church tonight will find some strength here that will keep them from fainting. Give them strength to keep going forward, Lord, that they would run, that they would fly, they would walk and not be weary because they've trusted in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You young people, if you don't mind for just a moment, would you step forward just a little bit? All of you youth, let's step up here around the altar, and I'm going to ask you moms and dads to come and gather around. Amen. Spiritually, what we're doing right now is we're gonna fan, and we're gonna pray and ask God to revive and strengthen and help our young people. Would you join me right now? Let's come and find somebody to pray with and pray for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would bless these young people, Lord. Help them not to be so timid that when they're tempted, they quit and give up. Help them not to be so easily scared that they run from every trial. Help them, Lord, not to be so weak and weary that they can't make it. Give them strength tonight, Lord. Give them strength. Give these young men, these young women, spiritual strength, something inside of them, Lord, that will help them to stand when other people aren't standing. Give them what they need, oh Lord, that will help them to have peace when others are afraid. Help them, oh Lord, to feel stronger than what they are in themselves, because their strength and help comes from you. Minister, Lord. right, before you leave tonight, let me just remind you, invite somebody to church this weekend, this Sunday. I've been sensing, I know that you have too, the Lord's been moving around here in our services lately. It would be a wonderful atmosphere for somebody to get saved, for a backslider to come back. Amen. Have revival. What do you say? So invite somebody to church. Be praying for the services this weekend, and we look forward to seeing you there. Young people, don't forget to let Sister Laura, Brother Jeremy know if you're going to be going Friday night, and have a great time. We'll be praying that the Lord will bless your time of fellowship together. All right, good night. God bless everybody.